Yeah, let me make just a couple announcements. It's hard sometimes for me to even tell you about my books or any make announcements, because once we get into the praise and worship and get going, I just want to keep on just flowing with the Spirit. A lot of times don't like to stop to even make an announcement, but let me do it right now, or I'll get going again. But I just want to mention too that I hope you'll go to our YouTube channel and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Remember, all you need to do, just go on your cell phone or computer and go to YouTube.com, unless you already have the YouTube icon. You probably do that. You have that. Just click that on. When you do and it comes open, type in Dwayne Norman, Victory in the Word. Dwayne Norman, Victory in the Word. And when that comes up, you'll probably see my name there. To the left of my name will be a little circle with a picture of me and my wife in it. And if you'll click on that, then our channel will open up. You'll see a bigger picture of me and my wife. And on the right side, it'll say subscribe. If it's in red, that means you haven't subscribed. So if you're wondering if you have and it's not in red, then that means you've already subscribed. Just click it on. It's free of charge. And matter of fact, there's no obligation now. So I found out that if you click it again by accident after you subscribed, it will unsubscribe you. That's how easy it is to unsubscribe if you don't want to hear the word of God that I'm preaching. So it's free of charge, but I hope you'll go ahead and subscribe. Our website's on there. Plus, I have about 94 different video messages on there that I hope you'll go listen to. I have 20 messages entitled Back to the Future. Remember that movie?
Yeah.
Well, I'm teaching it is that we need to go back to Calvary, find out all Jesus finished for us at the cross, and begin to declare and confess it. And you know what will happen? It'll change our future. Isn't that what Michael J. Fox did? He wanted to change his life and his family, so he went back to the past. And when he changed the past, when he came back into the present, where he was then, which would be his future, it was changed, wasn't it? His dad wasn't a loser. You might want to go watch that old movie again. It's a great movie. But Back to the Future. Hope you'll go listen to that. It's parts 1 through 20. All those messages on my YouTube channel are free of charge. Free of charge. I'm on YouTube every day, listening to preachers all the time. You know why I like to go to YouTube to listen to preachers? Because it's free of charge. It doesn't cost me a penny. So I'm always listening to messages, you know, and anytime somebody mentions another minister to me that I haven't heard of, first thing I'll do, I'll go to YouTube and see if they got any messages so I can go check that person out. And if I like what they're preaching, I'll probably listen to everything they got on there. A lot of times, you know, if I really like them, I'll go to Amazon, type in their name, see if they have any books, and get their books. That's just the way I am. Hallelujah. So I hope you go do that. And if you would, become a digital evangelist with us. You know what a digital evangelist is? Underneath my video messages on YouTube is a little button that says share. And if you click that share button, another box opens up and it says LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Mix, and all these other different social media sites. Share that video message on all those different sites with me. I share it every time I download a message. I go click every one I'm on. I'm on about five or six of them. And I share it on there every single day. And if you'll share it every time you watch a message, then you're helping me spread the word of God throughout the whole world via the internet. You know how much that costs you? Zero. Again, boy, isn't that great? A lot of free stuff, isn't it? Doesn't cost a penny. And we're partnering together to spread the gospel throughout the whole world by the internet. That's what I like about the internet. The devil likes to use it to put trash on there. You know, I heard a statistic. Actually, it was last year now. Boy, time goes fast. Seemed like we just got out of 2020. But I heard a minister say that he had heard a statistic after last year, after ministers started getting on the internet so much more, that there was more gospel being preached on the internet than pornography. That's great. That's what I decided to do. I decided I'm going to bombard the internet. I'm making two new video teachings every single week. So when you subscribe to our channel, something will come on your phone. Like tomorrow, I'll be making another one. If you're already subscribed, it'll say Dwayne Norman Live YouTube. And if you miss it, I'll be re-downloading so you can go back and watch it. But I'm going to keep on doing that. I got pastors that, you know, one pastor in Louisville, he started doing that after COVID happened, you know, and he said, I'm not going to stop even when we're back in church. They're back in church, but he got to enjoy doing that. And I like the fact that we're on the internet now, aren't we? Praise God. And those of you that are watching by the internet, I hope you'll go to our YouTube channel and do that. And let me say this for those of you watching right now, and possibly anybody in here. If by chance you're not born again, if you're not a Christian and you want to be, if you'd like to become a child of God, you can do that right now. It's real simple. You know, God, it doesn't matter how bad your life has been or what sins you've committed, or you may consider yourself just a lousy, rotten person and that you don't deserve salvation. Well, you don't, I don't, nobody does. Jesus deserved it for us. See, we got it through Jesus. He's the one who made us worthy. Nobody's worthy without Jesus. Amen. But right now, if you're watching me and you're not born again, then pray this prayer with me right now. Now, these aren't magic words we're going to say. This isn't the Christian's rabbit's foot we're going to wave before God and maybe get a little good luck with him. No, that's not what I'm talking about here. You got to believe this with all your heart. So right now, believe this and say this with me. Say, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you're the Son of God, and I believe that you died for me and shed your blood, and that God raised you from the dead, and I want you in my life. I need you in my life. So I'm asking you, come into my life right now and give me eternal life. Wash me clean with your precious blood, and I confess that you're now my Lord. I say that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. And Lord Jesus, I also make you Lord over my life, over every area of my life. Thank you, Father, for saving me in Jesus' name. Now, if you said that for the first time and you meant what you said, then you're born again. According to God's word, God said in Romans 10:9, if you'll confess Jesus as your Lord, that's what you just did, didn't you? And believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So you're born again. You're now a new creation in Christ. So I hope you'll get your Bible and read the word every day. Get into a good church that teaches the word. And if you don't know what to listen to right now, go to our YouTube channel and listen to all of our teachings on the Word of God. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I like to do that on all my videos. As you start watching, you'll notice I pray the prayer of salvation on every one of my videos. I think I've missed one out of 94. But because I'm praying, I'm saying, God, I pray that you'll lead lost people from all over the world to go to the internet and to find our YouTube videos on our YouTube channel, on Facebook, LinkedIn, the different social media sites. They may be looking for something else. They may think they found the wrong link. But I pray you'll lead them to our channel, and I pray you'll hold them. I pray you'll just give them a desire to start listening to me. And when I get to that prayer of salvation, I pray that you'll give them a great desire to pray that prayer with me and to get saved right then, and that you'll send forth Christian laborers to disciple them in the Word of God. And I hope you'll release your faith with me and agree with me on that. Amen. Whenever you share one of our videos, pray that. Say, I agree with Brother Dwayne that somebody's going to watch this video. Multitudes will watch it that are not born again, and they're going to pray that prayer and get saved. Pastor, you already told me somebody already got saved through the internet, didn't you? Yeah. That's what's so neat. You know, anybody could be watching this right now, anywhere in the whole world. I think that's amazing, don't you? The president of Russia or Czechoslovakia or whoever could be watching this right now. Nancy Pelosi could be watching this right now, getting saved. It would. Well, listen, what do you think how the Christians felt when they heard the Apostle Paul got saved? The Apostle Paul was like a hitman for the devil. He didn't travel and kill people in the mafia. Yeah. He hauled Christians to jail so they could be put in jail or die, didn't he? He was one bad person, wasn't he? Then he got saved. Now, you know the Christians back then probably were saying that he'll never get saved. Paul gets saved? You got to be kidding me. No, that guy will never get saved. He's an evil man. So don't be surprised. I believe, you know, especially and possibly in this year, 2021, but I believe we're going to be, serious things are going right now in the church world, in the spirit realm right now. A lot of serious things. And I believe that we're going to see more, and it's very possible this year, I believe we're going to see more Ananias and Sapphira moments. People are going to drop dead. Politicians are going to drop dead. Because, see, God is putting up with their reprobate minds as long as he can. He's trying to show people mercy. But at some point, God says, I'm done with it. show you mercy as long as I can. Praise God for his mercy for all of us. But I believe we're going to see people dropping dead in public office, politicians. Or you'll hear it on the news. We don't know why, but so-and-so just died in their sleep last night. And they seem like they're in perfect health. Yeah, preachers and just any, people that decide they're going to reject God and not listen to God. So you know, a lot of things are happening right now. We need to know that. But also, I believe, we're going to see people that, you know, that have been totally against God, totally against Christianity and the things of the church. They're going to get saved. You're going to hear, so-and-so got saved. And of course, like the people back during Paul's day, you know what you're going to say? No, you got to be kidding. They got saved. Are you sure they really got saved? Maybe they're faking it. You know they said that probably about Paul. The apostle Paul's a Christian now? You're talking about, are we talking about the same Paul here? The guy who went around putting Christians in jail so they could be killed? Yeah, he's saved now. So I'm excited. I'm excited to hear what all's going to happen, aren't you? Hallelujah. Well, I got a lot of books on my table. I'm not going to tell you about them all. You can check them out. But I have one book called Going Up to the High Place. I teach a lot on who you are in Christ. The subtitle on this is Learn to Live from Your Place in Christ. We need to learn that God wants us to live down here from up there. That's how Jesus lived. And just a lot more in here that I'll let you check out. Also, another book entitled Defending the Faith. Very important. Actually, I'm teaching on this right now on my YouTube channel. I'm on part two right now. So I'm teaching on this particular book, Defending the Faith. The subtitle is, Do You Know What You Believe? And that kind of gets back to knowing the will of God, like I taught this morning. We need to know what we believe. And again, I want to just mention to you, my newest book is called The Power of the Christian Leader. And there are a lot of leadership books in the world. A lot of good leadership books. This book, to me, is a little bit different because it's a leadership book that's solely based on who we are in Christ Jesus. It's an in Christ leadership book, and it's very apropos for the time we're living in right now. I didn't know COVID was going to happen last year. My book came out at the end of March of last year. And my book is all about how the church needs to rise up. We need to wake up and rise up to the spiritual leaders that God has made us, to who we are in Christ. We need to get rid of our spiritual amnesia and quit being Clark Kent with amnesia. And we need to recognize that we're supermen, we're superwomen in Christ, and start acting like it. So it'll really fire you up. I have a lot of important teaching in that book for you. Amen. Well, do you have your Bibles? Why don't you get them out and turn over to the book of James with me. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And while you're turning over there, let me pray and you can agree with me. Father, we worship you. We praise you, Lord. And we're just so glad to be in church. We're so glad to be together as your family, as your children. And Father, we thank you so much for all that you've done for us, all that you've given us. You are benevolent, Father, your perfect goodness and your perfect love. And Father, we pray that as we hear your word, Lord, that you'll just teach us. Reveal to us more revelation, knowledge, more prophetic insights, more understanding from your word that we need to know in our lives. You know where each one of us are spiritually right now, Father, with you. Teach and train us what we need to know from you right now to start applying in our lives as well as to teach to others. Oh, change us for your glory. Greatly increase our faith as we hear your word. And Father, we receive it from you and we give you all the thanksgiving and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm talking about, I asked you the question this morning, can we expect God to heal us? And the answer is yes, but I said also really, let's look a little deeper at that. Not only can we expect God to heal us, but he has already healed us. We've already been healed. We've already been healed. And I brought out the point that has to do with knowing what God's will is concerning healing. And how important it is to know that healing is God's will for everyone. Because you cannot be convinced, you cannot have faith and confidence to receive your healing from God if you're not 100% convinced that healing is for everyone. Because see, if you're not convinced healing is for everyone, then that implies that there could be people that God doesn't want to be healed, which might be you. And see, if you believe that way, then you can't have any confidence. You can't have any confidence that you're going to receive your healing. Does that make sense, y'all?
Yeah.
See, we need to be totally developed in that. Now, the way you get totally developed, where you have confidence that healing is God's will for you and for everyone, is you need to get the Bible out and go look up all the healing scriptures you can find. You know, you can get my little book out there called God's Will is Healing for All People. I don't cover all the healing scriptures in the Bible. There are a lot. But that'll give you a little direction on which way to go. And matter of fact, that little book I have out there, it only has two chapters. But the second chapter is entitled, Things Jesus Never Said to the Sick. Not things he said, things he never said to the sick. So you might, and what I did was, I'm talking about things that Jesus never said to the sick that Christians and ministers say to the sick all the time. And they're wondering why they don't see the kind of results Jesus saw. Well, if you want to see the results Jesus saw, you've got to say and do what Jesus did.
Amen.
Amen. Have to say and do what Jesus did. Now, over in James chapter 1 over here, I want to look at a couple of verses. Look at verse 13. It says, let no man say, now he's about to tell us something that we're not to say, right? Let no man means male or female here, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Okay. You know, when you read something like that, you ought to stop right there and say, okay, God. All right, yeah, I see that. You don't want me to ever say, if I'm ever tempted with evil, with anything bad, that would include sickness and disease. If I'm ever tempted or attacked with any kind of evil thing, you don't want me to ever say that you're doing that.
Amen.
Right? That's what God said. So then we need to make up our mind, I'll never say that. As much as you may want to. Because see, you say, well, why would I ever want to? Because the devil will try to get you into a position. See, you may be believing God for some type of healing for your body, and it hasn't come to pass yet, and it may have been months, maybe years, and it's not manifested yet, but you've convinced yourself that you know you're in faith. You know, you're doing everything you know to do. You're living a godly, holy life. You go to church all the time. You feed the poor, you take blankets to the people that are cold in the wintertime under the bridge, doing all the right, wonderful, good humanitarian things, and your healing's still not manifested. And and the devil starts giving you thoughts. Like, well, see, obviously you are a special case here. And God, yeah, I know you believe that healing is for you, but this is one situation that God just doesn't want you healed, that God's doing this to you. Now, as soon as you hear that, you need to say, no, I will never say that God's tempting me with evil. No matter, I learned that a long time ago when I was a teenager. I've been practicing it ever since. No matter what I've been attacked with, even if I don't know why it's happening, you know, I don't know what's going on here, I'll always, to myself, I'll say, God, I don't know what's going on here. I don't know why I'm going through this. I don't know why this is happening. I feel like I got my faith applied and it looks like it's not working. I don't know what's happening here, but Lord, one thing I do know, I know this is not from you, because you cannot tempt any man with evil. No matter what, no matter how bad this may get or how far it goes, I will never, never, never say that you're doing this to me for any reason.
Amen.
That's a good foundation to always lay in your life. Now, after I say that to God, I'll say, now, God, I want you to show me where I've missed it, or what's going on here. But I know you have nothing to do with this. See, now you're on the right track with God. You're staying in good fellowship with the Lord. So he can work in your life now, instead of accusing him of what the devil's doing to you. So this verse says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So God can't be tempted with evil, and he says, and I don't tempt any man or woman with evil. I don't do it. Then look down at verse 17. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Notice it's not from below. It's from above and comes down from the Father of lights, not from the Prince of Darkness, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That means God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So this verse tells me that all good and perfect gifts come from God. Now, don't turn to it, but another verse you need to always remember is over in John 17, verse 23. Remember, the 17th chapter of John was where Jesus, it's a great chapter because the whole chapter is kind of letting us in on Jesus praying to the Father. You know, I've always thought, wouldn't it be neat if Jesus was here and we knew that he was going, he was going back to a prayer room in your church to pray tonight at 10 o'clock. You know, if I knew that, I'd think, wow, I want to go back there. I don't want, maybe not let him know I'm there. Maybe I can, you know, listen in because I want to hear how he prays to God. What all he prays and how he prays. Well, that's really what we have in the 17th chapter of John. It's Jesus praying to the Father. So when you read that chapter, think of it like that. I'm listening to how Jesus prays and what he prays. And he prayed a lot of good things. He prayed for us. But in verse 23, Jesus said that we need to know that the Father loves us as much as he loves Jesus. God loves you as much as he loves Jesus. So you should never, ever, I don't care how bad your life's been or how bad your parents were or your spouse or your children or whatever, no matter what horrible things you've gone through in your life, where the devil's tried to get you to think, obviously, you know, nobody loves you and God doesn't love you and you're just a rotten person. You need to know that God loves you as much as he loves Jesus. Do you think God loves Jesus? Yeah. I mean, think about that. Say that with me. Say, God loves me as much as he loves Jesus, as he loves my Savior, my Redeemer. God loves me just as much. So I always remember these three things. There's a good foundation to always remember that God loves me as much as he loves Jesus. He will never tempt me with anything evil, anything bad, and God is all good. He's all good. Now, this will help you when you read your Bible, especially when you read stories maybe like Job and different stories in the Bible where it sounds like God might have done something bad or tempted somebody with evil, and you're thinking, well, here's the case. You know, people like to do that. You know, when after what I just said, they'll say, well, Brother Duane, let me show you a scripture. How do you answer this? Like the Pharisees and Sadducees. We want to try to catch him in his words. It didn't work, did it? But see, this will help you when you read the Bible. When you find something in the Bible that sounds like maybe God did something bad, if God's not as good as you thought he was, you need to stop right there and say, first of all, God, I know that I'm ignorant. And I don't know everything you know, and you know more than I know. But one thing I do know is that you love me as much as you love Jesus. And I know that you cannot tempt anybody with evil, and you cannot do anything bad. Now, I know I'm reading in your word where it kind of sounds like maybe you did here. So here's where you be honest. You say, God, even though it sounds like that to me, I know it can't be true because I know what your word says. I know your nature. You can't tempt anybody with evil. You can't do anything bad. And you love me as much as you love Jesus. You love everybody. So you need to come to the conclusion. You say, God, obviously there's something I'm missing in this verse. See, you don't stop and say, well, I guess I got God on one here. No, you're never going to. You think you're going to play chess with God and win? Do you really think you're going to play chess with God and win? I think I can beat him this time. You'll never beat him. He's omniscient. You know what that means? That means he knows everything about the past, present, and future. You play chess with God, he already knows what you're thinking and what moves you're going to make. Nobody has a chance with God of winning. You fight against God, you just go ahead and shoot yourself. You know, you don't have a chance with God not to beat him. So when you find scriptures like that in the Bible, instead of saying, well, I think I found a mistake in the Bible. No. The Word of God never contradicts itself. It means, obviously, you and I don't understand something here. And we need to pray and say, God, I know your nature. I know your perfect love. You love me as much as you love Jesus. You're all good. You can't do anything bad. And you cannot tempt anybody with evil. Yet this verse kind of sounds like you did some of that stuff. So, Lord, and so therefore, I know that you didn't do that. But I still don't know what actually took place here. So will you please teach this to me and explain this to me? But until I have a good understanding of what really took place here, I'm going to stay with what I do know that describes who you are to me.
that you're all good, you cannot tempt anyone with evil, and you're perfect love. Amen. See, these are good guidelines to follow in your Christian life every day, especially when you're studying the Word of God. Amen. And listen to other people talk about all the bad things that happened to them. You know, they'll say, God put cancer on me, you know, because I wasn't in the Word at all, I wasn't serving God, but God put cancer on me. And when I got to the hospital, all I did was read the Bible for 2 weeks and got closer to God. God had nothing to do with that. See, you didn't have enough sense to get in the Word before you went to the hospital. The devil put cancer on you. You got in the hospital, and then all of a sudden you came to your senses. You decided, you know what? I may die from this mess. I might better get a little closer to God here. I might need to get me a Bible and start reading the Word. Now, God gave you the desire to do that, but he didn't put the cancer on you. But people come out of the hospital and say, wow, if God hadn't put that cancer on me, I wouldn't be as close to him as I am today. I'm going to church today because God put this cancer on me. See how squirrely and negative and unscriptural that is? That's what keeps people bound and in sickness and disease. And the devil just sits over in the corner and laughs his head off. He's over there saying, boy, those people, they'll believe anything. But you know what? The devil cannot deceive you when you stay full of the Word of God. The more Word you have in you, the less you will ever be deceived. Praise God forever. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to turn over to Acts chapter 10 with me real quick. Acts chapter 10. This is a good verse of Scripture that will shed some light on some things too. If this was the only verse of Scripture you had in the Bible about healing, this would be enough right here. Over in Acts chapter 10, this is something the Apostle Peter said when God told him, gave him a vision, remember, he told him to go, he went over to Cornelius' house and preached the gospel to them, and that's when it was really made known that salvation was for the Gentiles as well as the Jews. And he preached a sermon to him. I just want to read one verse here. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Peter said this about the Lord Jesus. He said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. Notice Jesus went about doing good. He didn't go about doing evil, did he? He went about doing good. Why would he go about doing good? Because God's all good. And because remember what Jesus said when he was on this earth, John 6, 38? He said, I came to do the will of the Father. Well, the Father's all good, isn't he? And Jesus said, I only say what I hear the Father say, and I only do what I see the Father do. So Jesus went about doing good. So that means everything Jesus said and did was good. And it was the will of the Father. So it says that he went about doing good and healing how many?
All.
Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Well, there's no way that the Holy Spirit would have Peter write this if healing wasn't God's will for all people. Because if it's not, then Jesus could not have healed all the people. Y'all follow my reasoning here? This is the way I think. So he and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Oppressed of who? God? Of the devil. He healed all that were oppressed of the devil. So every person Jesus healed, of course, he healed of sicknesses and diseases, didn't he? But the Bible says that everyone he healed was oppressed by the devil. So that tells me that all sickness and disease, COVID-19, like I said, whatever the plague of the day is, it's all satanic oppression.
Yes, it is. Come on, brother.
It's all satanic oppression. And then it says, for God was with him. But see, you and I need to know that it's all satanic oppression. Why do I need to be so convinced that every sickness and disease is from the devil and not from God? Because if you have any type of sickness or disease in your body, and you think maybe that's from God, for whatever reason the devil's lied to you about, if you think it's from God, you're not going to put forth any effort to resist it, will you? Because you're thinking, I can't resist it because God put it on me. And if I resist it, then I'm going against God. I don't want to fight against God. I'm resisting God's will. See, that's what the devil tells people. God put that on you, so you better just leave it alone. Or you'd be fighting against God. Well, God didn't put that on you. And you need to resist it with every drop of faith you have, like I taught this morning. You need to speak to that and say, sickness and disease, I curse you. And I command you to die and you leave my body right now. Amen. You leave it and don't come back in Jesus' name. All sickness and disease is satanic oppression. Now look over, go over to the right in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Remember the story over here where there was a man in the church at that time, in the church of Corinth, that had committed incest, or which is a fornication, adultery. And the church didn't want to deal with it. They just wanted to leave him alone and, you know, just let him, you know, participate in the church and not address the issue. And Paul said, you know, you need to, because the guy didn't want to repent, Paul said, you need to basically excommunicate him. But the way he said it was, he said, you need to turn him over to Satan, didn't he? Now look at verse 3 here, 1 Corinthians 5. For I verily, as absent in body but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that has done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Notice he didn't say deliver him unto God for the destruction of the flesh. You know why he didn't say that? Because God doesn't destroy the flesh. God heals the flesh. God's not the destroyer. Satan's the destroyer. But he said deliver him unto the devil, unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. See, Satan's will is to destroy people's flesh with sickness and disease and finally physical death. That's his will. God's will is for everybody to be healed and whole and alive and well. Isn't that what Jesus told us to pray for in Matthew 6? Pray for God's will in heaven to be done on the earth. You know, just think about this. I was thinking about this the other day. You know, Jesus always talked about, he'd say the kingdom of heaven is here, didn't he? Remember that? He even said that. He told his disciples in Matthew 10, you know, as you go, preach that the kingdom of heaven is here. Heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. The kingdom of heaven. What did Jesus mean when he said to tell people the kingdom of heaven is here? What he was saying was, he says, tell people that as it's being done in heaven, God's rule in heaven can now be done on the earth. The kingdom of heaven. What's happening in heaven? God's kingdom in heaven can now be manifested on the earth. Now you can experience what they're experiencing in heaven. Now you can experience what's going on with the people in heaven. And they're doing great up there, aren't they? That's why he told them, say the kingdom of heaven is here, then heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead, and cleanse the lepers. In other words, when they were to tell them the kingdom of heaven is here, then they demonstrated what they meant. Let me show you what I mean, the kingdom of heaven here. Then they healed that person. Showing them, see, people are healed in heaven, aren't they? And didn't I just say the kingdom of heaven is here? Then he healed that person. And then, of course, the people put two and two together. Okay, I get it. God wants us to experience down here what they're experiencing up in heaven. And they're all healed, delivered, prosperous, and full of joy, and have the peace of God in heaven. And that's what we need to be experiencing down here. You know, one reason, obviously, that we need to experience down here as it is in heaven is just because God loves us. He wants us to enjoy his blessings. But another reason why we need to is for the testimony out of it. Especially in this day and age. See, I mean, there are people and lots of Christians. A lot of the Christians acting like people in the world. They're full of fear and doubt and unbelief. They're all stressed out. They're just a wreck. That's not a testimony at all. It is. Yeah. A lot of sinners look at Christians and say, man, you've got more fear than I do. What kind of God did you say you serve? Just a sorry testimony. But when we're living down here as heaven on earth, we're full of joy all the time. Our needs are met. We're walking in perfect health. And people in the world see that, they're going to come to you and say, you're living in the same world I'm living in. I'm around you at work all the time. You hear all the bad news going on. You just seem like you're full of joy all the time. Seem like everything's wonderful down here. And we know it's not wonderful in the world. But you act like, really what they need to say, you act like you're living in heaven. And you say, yeah, I'm not in heaven, but I'm experiencing heaven on the earth. It's called the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, where God rules and reigns. That's what the kingdom of God means, where God rules and reigns. And remember Jesus said, the kingdom is within you. The kingdom of God, where God rules and reigns, is within me. That's a whole sermon right there. Wow, that feels good to say that. Say that. Say the kingdom of God, is within me. God's kingdom's in me. God rules and reigns in and over my life. And I'm experiencing heaven. I'm experiencing right now, down here on earth, what they're experiencing in heaven. Everywhere I go, the kingdom of heaven's working mightily in my life all the time in Jesus' name. Now see, you might not experience all that right now, but that's the Christian life is you grow every day. But the more you meditate on these things, you keep declaring the word. That's why Paul said in Philemon verse 6, if you want your faith to become effective, then start acknowledging, start recognizing, start confessing and declaring every good thing in you in Christ. Keep on doing it. Keep on doing it and keep on doing it. And you'll start experiencing more of it. I'm telling you, you will. You'll start experiencing it, what you're declaring. It'll start working. But a lot of Christians, see, they get excited. They get excited, fired up from a message like I'm preaching tonight, and they'll go strong for maybe a week and a half or two. You won't see them at church again. You'll say, what happened to you? Well, brother, I just got so busy. And then here come the excuse. I got so busy and blah, 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 blah. You want to just look at them and say, blah, 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 blah. That's what you want to say, but you don't. You try to be polite. You want to just look at them. You don't do it, but you want to say, shut up. I'm tired of hearing your unbelief. I'm tired of you telling me your excuses for not believing God's word and obey it. You're missing out on so many wonderful blessings, and it's your fault. Yeah. That's why we need to be spiritual Rambos and just decide, I don't care what anybody else does. I want everybody else to be on fire for God, but whether they do or not, I'm going to be on fire for God. If I'm the only one on the planet that confesses every good thing in me in Christ, then I'm going to do it till Jesus comes back and raptures me out of here. But see, when you have that type of attitude, boy, it's infectious. When you have that type of attitude, other Christians start getting a hold of that. See, that's called making disciples. They start getting a hold of that. And they start saying, well, man, if you can do that, I can do that. I got the same Jesus you do. And they start doing it. Of course, that starts infecting Christians around them. And see, it starts spreading. So you'll never be the only one doing this. Never be. Look, Jesus started it, didn't he? He spread it to 12 more, didn't he? Day of Pentecost, they spread it to several thousand. It's been spreading ever since then, hasn't it? Billions and billions and billions, praise God.